Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Podcast. Wait, what? Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. That sounds better. Let's go with that one. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and since it is Friday.
Start spreading the news.
There you go. That means Sean Merck Stew is here.
Always good to hear the man's voice.
All right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Again, we're still trying to get Stu out there on Twitter, so just hit me up at Burke Time with questions, comments, or anything else you got for Stu, and I will gladly forward them along. So there you go.
All questions are welcomed.
Yes. At least I believe so. We had to have to see what they are first, but you never know.
That's true.
All right. Well, sadly, we have not had the opportunity to do a show since the trade deadline. Dan and I have been off for a couple of days. And I got to tell you, it was, you know, it was somewhat interesting. I'm glad I don't have to listen to the waiver BS now, but I got to tell you, I'm really tired of every expert I see come on and cry about the fact that the Red Sox and Yankees didn't do anything, and oh God, I can't believe the Red Sox and Yankees didn't do anything. And the humorous thing about it is there's some really easy explanations on why they didn't make any moves. And these guys with this like wealth of baseball knowledge and connections should know all this. So I don't know if they're not bringing it out because it kills their story or what the deal is, but man, I got to tell you, it's annoying as you wouldn't believe to listen to these guys.
Well, especially ESPN, who seem to predominantly discuss the Yankees and the Red Sox ad infinitum.
Yeah, well, you know, humorously, Dan and I talked about it on Tuesday, how we didn't think the Red Sox would do anything. You know, they've reported that they do not want to go over the luxury tax. They are at the highest tax level. Not only if they would go over, they would have had to pay a fee, but it would cost them 10 slots in the draft, and they weren't willing to give that up. They only had about, I think I heard the number of maybe $2 million they could use to add a player, and that's not going to get you a lot of guys in today's game. So
no.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you can be as upset as you are, as you want. You know, maybe if you're a fan, I could side with you. But these experts that are making a big deal out of it, it's like, how do you guys not know this? Do you not look at salary numbers? Or, you know, did you just want to ignore it because it's the Red Sox and you have to talk about them?
Well, I'm sure the Yankees are close to the limit also.
Yeah, well, actually, the Yankees are in a pretty good spot, but what you got to understand with the Yankees is while they have a really well-rated farm system, the majority of that farm system is class high A or lower. So, you know, like I heard everybody crying that they should have swapped, you know, their best prospect for Trevor Bauer like the Reds did. The problem is their best prospect is in A ball, and Cleveland probably wasn't going to take that for Trevor Bauer. You know,
no.
They got a kid
no.
from Cincinnati, this Trammell. I forgot his first name. I don't want to – Tyson or Tyler. I believe it's – I think it's TT, you know, how it starts out. You know, he's not far away from the majors, maybe a year or two. You know, all the guys from the Yankees, we're talking 3, 4, maybe even 5 years if it's a pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. Were you surprised, by the way, that Cincinnati made that deal? Were you surprised about Cincinnati getting Bauer?
You know, I wasn't surprised they got him. What I was surprised with is they didn't flip him. You know, I just thought maybe it was going to be a part to a bigger deal. But, I guess maybe they decided that the 4.5 or 5.5 or whatever they are out isn't too much to make up. You know, the same with the Mets.
They're only 5 games below 500. And with the crazy Central Division, I guess if they put on a run, they could actually compete.
You know, because that's, you know, everybody thought the same thing with the Mets was, oh, they went out and got Marcus Stroman early so they could flip him. You know, and that not only did they not flip Stroman, they didn't deal Zach Wheeler and they didn't deal Noah Syndergaard like they were supposed to. So, more and more I start to wonder where these insiders get their information, because none of the guys went that, not only were those guys supposed to go, Bumgarner was supposed to go. Even though the Giants were winning, everybody had them trading Bumgarner. You know, he didn't go anywhere.
No.
Well, yeah, I honestly don't know, wherever these guys are getting info from, it's bad info, because it definitely was way off base this year.
Yeah, well, that being said, do you think that Houston came out the best in all these acquisitions at the end of the trade deadline?
Yeah, well, humorously going in, Houston really had a three-man rotation. You know, they had Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Wade Miley, who's pitched really well for them. You know, so what do? You add Zach Greinke and Aaron Sanchez. And I know Sanchez has been bad this year, but don't forget, just a couple years ago, he led the American League in ERA. And, Houston kind of had that magic with being able to turn pitchers around. You know, they turned Charlie Morton around. So, and now you get to slot him at 5. He doesn't have to worry about being up in the rotation like he was with Toronto. You know, that's perfect for a guy to go in and recover.
Absolutely. I'm wondering now if Houston is now the team to beat in the AL. I thought it was the Yankees, but now I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, Houston took that giant step forward. The problem, of course, there is, can they stay healthy? I know Correa seems to keep getting banged up, and Altuve's missed a little time here, and I know Springer had an injury earlier in the season. So, the catch there is going to be, can they keep everybody healthy, to make some kind of move or run?
That's certainly critical for any team that's in contention, and there are a lot of them, especially for the wild card slot in both leagues. But you have to stay healthy. You have to be fortunate and not have any major injuries to any of your top players to give yourself a chance to at least get into the playoffs, and then everything's up for grabs.
Yeah, well, like today the Dodgers just put Hyunjin Ryu on the IL. I almost said DL. We're into August. I'm still saying DL. It's IL. It's going to still take me probably years to get used to it. He has some kind of neck issue. I'm just kind of wondering with the lead they had, if they're just being safe here, and just putting him on, giving him, as much time as he needs to kind of relax, rest and get ready.
Yeah, they might as well do that with, what do they have, about a 15, 16-game lead in the division. That division is over with. And they could rest a lot of their players now and get them ready and healthy for the playoffs.
Which will be the key there, of course, with them, because, if they're planning on doing anything with Rich Hill, you never know what's going to happen there. So.
Well, Rich Hill's not a youngster either, so I keep thinking his career is done, and any surprise to me, especially against when he pitches against the Cubs, but he does seem to have an injury problem, and he's what, it's got to be close to 38, 39 in that age bracket?
I think he's much older than that. I think he's in his 40s. I'll have to double check that real quick. But, even when he was young, he was hurt all the time. I mean, that's part of the reason he was pretty much out of baseball there for, that period of time. And I did look. The Dodgers do have a 16-game lead. So
it's peculiar about Hill, though, because he certainly doesn't throw with much velocity, and yet he always seems to be injured. You wonder why, because I always compare Greg Maddux, who also didn't have too much in the way of velocity, but he never seemed to get hurt. Very rarely did he ever get hurt. But
Hill, you were much closer. I thought Hill was a lot older. He is only 39, but they just moved him to the 60-day DL. He is now suffering from a left forearm flexor strain and isn't expected back until September.
If that, then he may not be back until the playoffs start.
Well, you know, that's what you figure. You bring him back in September, you let him throw a couple outings, and then he's ready for the playoffs. So
yeah, and you know he wouldn't pitch more than four or five innings in the playoffs anyway.
Right. You know, that's how, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, it was a little like, you know, yesterday for the first time in what seems like, guy, it seems like 10 years, but I might only have been one or two, Danny Salazar made a start for the Indians. You know, he went four innings. He was okay. He took the loss. I mean, he wasn't great. He didn't stink. And now he's back on the DL.
Yeah. Well,
so,
he certainly wasn't back, and he wasn't back for very long before he got hurt again.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't take long. But, yeah, he, I want to say hamstring, I think it is now. You know, before it was all kinds of arm trouble. So, at least, you know, you don't have to worry about that. It's just a hamstring strain, but... You know, even so, you just keep looking at this guy, and, I mean, he was targeted as, you know, a top-of-the-rotation guy, and, you know, he was going to, you know, be linchpin after Corey Kluber in that rotation, and he's just been a complete bust.
He has, and don't forget that, by the way, a hamstring strain is nothing to sneeze about, because that could be a long, lingering injury that could take some time to heal. And you never know, those things are, even when they're back in action, that could be quite an iffy thing.
Yeah, no, I had one for quite a while that hung around, so I get it.
Well, you know, it took some time for it to heal, and after you thought it healed, did it flare up again from time to time?
Yeah, you know, it didn't have to put a wrestle on it, so that didn't, you know, that didn't do it any favors. So it took quite a while to get better.
I injured my fingers a couple of times when I was playing in chess tournaments, but not too bad.
So, yeah, well, you know, those will happen. You got to be careful. You know, those pieces get out of control.
You got to be careful moving the pieces properly, right? And of course, you, being a former professional wrestler, you must have had a lot of aches and dings over the years, too.
Had, still have, will continue to have, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they never really go completely away, do they?
No. You keep thinking, but no. So, yeah, you know, kind of getting back to the trade deadline, I think the...
Yes.
You know, the only thing that may have really shocked me or surprised me is that the Dodgers didn't add any bullpen help. But, you know, I know they seem to be fixated on Felipe Vasquez of the Pirates. And, you know, the Pirates weren't going to let him go cheap. They wanted the Dodgers' top prospect, who's a, you know, big, looks like a big-time hitter by the name of Gavin Lux. And I'm a little surprised, while all the relievers were jumping around, you know, the Nationals added three, the Braves added three. You know, I think the Astros added one. The Cubs added a guy earlier in the week. You know, there were relievers going all over the place that the Dodgers couldn't find one. And I just wonder if maybe they got stuck on one guy and couldn't get off the name.
Well, excluding injuries, the only really serious weakness I could see in the Dodgers is their bullpen. It does not appear to be very solid.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, and I know the worst part is, you know, at the back end, you know, Kenley Jansen has always been really reliable. Now there have been some questions there. He's been scuffling a little bit. You know, they paid Joe Kelly a bunch of money after he looked great for the Red Sox against the Dodgers in the World Series last year, and he hasn't been very good. So, you know, my guess is they'll load the bullpen up with relievers like they did last year and hope, you know, guys like Kenta Maeda and Julio Urias can come through when they need them.
Well, that's to me, that's kind of a question mark. Those guys have done the job on occasion, but they haven't been all that consistent either.
But, you know, that seems to be the new trend in postseason. You know, that's kind of how the Red Sox won last year. Remember, they went away from Kimbrel You know, and it was Chris Sale who got the last out of the World Series, you know, the World Series winner. You know, Nathan Eovaldi had some fantastic relief appearances. I know David Price made one. So that kind of seems to be the new trend. I'm guessing somewhere there's a sabermetric or analytic, you know, formula that says you bring these guys in and everybody is going to jump on the bandwagon there. So I guess that's what we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, anything goes in the playoffs, and people that normally don't relieve sometimes will surprise you and they'll come in critical situations, that as happened to Boston last year.
So yeah, I mean, it'll make it. I mean, what I'm really interested in now is to see how the fact that you can't make any moves affects all these teams now, you know, because beforehand, you know, they're just used to going, oh, okay, hey, well, we can go out and, you know, wait, let's see if this guy gets through waivers and we can make a deal here. I do think the shady thing here may be this designated for assignment rule, because I saw it really interesting today that the Angels designated Jonathan Lucroy for assignment.
Yes.
And I don't understand that. I mean, he's been their number one catcher. There was a lot of talk about trading him. They're still hanging around in the playoff race. So to make this move is it seems like a bit of a scam to me, and they're going to try to bypass the waiver rule by just cutting him and letting somebody else pick him up.
Yeah, and he's been a valuable member of their team for a long time now, and for the last several years, and I didn't think that his year was all that bad to warrant a DFA.
No, you know, and I know, you know, why, you know, the big talk was they were talking with the Astros about trying to send Lucroy there. And obviously the Cubs beat him to the punch by dumping Maldonado on him. And, you know, a trade I still don't understand why the Cubs made at the time, but it didn't, you know, you give up a left-handed reliever to get a catcher that you don't need, but whatever. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if maybe they just couldn't find a landing spot. Somebody wasn't interested in a backup catcher. So, you know, they're just going to cut him loose, but it still seems really fishy to me.
Yeah, it was a strange move. Now, on September 1, you can bring up players from your minor league organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, you go to 40 men or whatever, the roster expands.
But none of them, I think, will be eligible for the postseason. Is that also correct?
You know, I believe there's a way to do it. It might have to do with injuries or something. Because if you remember, I think it was the year the Royals won the World Series. They had Mondesi on the playoff roster, and he hadn't played a game all year. But he was on the playoff roster. You know, the kid got a World Series ring before he actually ever played in a Major League regular season game.
So there
are ways to do it. My guess is it's, you know, it works with injury, however that happens.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself also if there's anybody at the AAA level, for example, that could really come in at September 1 and have some kind of an impact on the team for the last month of the regular season.
Yeah, you know, I think it's more the getting the injured guys back and healthy. You know, I mean, if you look at, you know, like we mentioned the Yankees, their best starting pitcher has been on the IL all year. You know, Luis Severino, there's a chance he comes back and, you know, in September. They also have Dellin Betances, who is a fantastic setup guy, just about ready to come back. So, you know, when you start adding pieces like this, it's, you know, it gives you a nice little shot in the arm when you see these guys. I know, you know, Ben Zobrist is playing. I don't know how much help he'll be, but he's playing at South Bend tonight. He's going on a month-long rehab. So, you know, come September 1st, he'll be back on the Cubs roster. So, you know, again, like I said, I don't know how much help will be, but it's a body.
Yeah, and you know, they really don't have anybody decent at second base right now anyway, so they might as well put Zobrist in when he's ready to play. Because who's their regular second baseman now? I don't know. Is it Bodie?
Well, you know, since they were dumb enough to send Addison Russell down, you know, I still don't understand what the hell they had against him. You know, they really don't have anybody now. You know, and then I laughed when they went out and got Castellanos when the Giants got Scooter Gennett, because that would have been the perfect deal for the Cubs. He would have solved all their problems.
Yeah,
but, you know, instead they had to get a guy who can barely put his glove on to play the outfield. But, you know, they know what they're doing.
One catch today. He did make a catch today.
He didn't trip over himself?
No. He didn't look very smooth doing it, but he made the catch.
Yeah, well, get used to that because he's going to suck. But, you know, hey, they – you know, that's what they were told to do. They had to get hitting, you know, but it would have been fantastic to put Gennett in. He could have solved both with one. He could have played second base and taken care of that and helped out with the hitting. But,
yeah,
you know, like
you,
I think I saw David Cody.
Who would you rather have a second base, Kemp or Scooter? I mean, that's a tough one.
Well,
right?
In reality, they should have just left Addison Russell there because you got a guy who's a potential gold glover. You know, I mean, you're looking at a guy who's a quality defensive player. You know what I mean? Now, I know he wasn't hitting great, but he was still hitting 240, 241. You know, that's not terrible. But for whatever reason, he's the new scapegoat, so he can go away in the off season and, you know, they can do whatever one. And I don't want to hear the BS about, well, you know, he had all these problems off the field. That didn't seem to be an issue when Aroldis Chapman was getting the last out of the World Series. So I don't want to hear it now with Addison Russell. You know, you can't pick and choose your off-field issues.
Yeah, they seem to – I think they sent him down because of that one game where he just wasn't thinking properly. I'm not sure but that seemed to be a big factor. Have you checked to see how he's doing at Iowa? I have not. I've forgotten to check to see if he – what his stats are down there for this part of the year.
I didn't even bother to look. I figure, you know, he's just the – you know, he's the new scapegoat. You know, he's just filling that Starling Castro role, and he'll be the new scapegoat, and they can deal him for, you know, basically give him away in the off season, and he can go be fine someplace else, just like Castro did. You know, I mean, he went out and had some fantastic years with the Yankees. I know he's scuffling
he sure
this
did.
Year, but, you know, he's on a garbage team, so I can kind of see where that might get to him. Oh, let's see. What do we have here? Where is they did send him to AAA, right? He didn't go to anything.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't send him out of AA. I believe they sent him to Iowa.
Of course,
he started out the season in Iowa too. So you have to see if you can figure out how he's done since he sent him out recently.
He's played 15 games down there. He's hitting 255 with three homers. So
not much.
Yeah, you know, not just a little higher than what he was doing here. So, but you know, again, it's just 15 games. So who knows? Who knows what's going to go on. I don't believe Tony Kemp is reported yet. I don't see him as having an at bat. So
no, he's playing. He played yesterday. He played yesterday in that game when they got one hit. And
He
did not impress me very much as a batter.
No, he's not. He's never going to. So, you know, he's strictly a fourth outfielder, steal a base kind of guy. He's not gonna impress anybody.
He's not a very smooth infielder either. I wasn't all that impressed with his infield skills either.
No, you know, I don't know. I actually didn't know he could even play second base until this year when the Astros put him there. So I don't know how much actual second base experience he's had.
Right.
So, I don't see him being the defensive replacement at least in the infield as time goes along, maybe in the outfield, but definitely not in the infield.
Yeah, I was not impressed with that acquisition. And at least Castellanos is a proven hitter. he got a bloop today, and
yeah.
But he hit the ball hard a couple of times, and they were caught. But so he looks like it may be all right in the outfield, and I would suspect because of that acquisition that Almora's playing time will be limited to late innings defensive play now.
Yeah, and Jason Hayward will be the most tired outfielder in Major League Baseball. So.
Yeah, well, I told you stories about when Frankie Ramos played center field for the Cubs between Hank Sauer and Ralph Kiner. Talk about running around.
You know, hopefully they don't. At least Wrigley Field has kind of a small outfield. Hopefully they don't have to play any place where they're, you know, they don't have to go back to Colorado or anything where, you know, the outfield is expansive and, you know, that they could, Hayward could literally die having to, you know, with Castellanos and Schwarber beside him, you know, he could have serious issues.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly his best year hitting for the Cubs since they acquired him. He certainly seems to have turned that around. Yeah, it took a few years, but he hit the home run today, gave the Cubs the lead, and yeah, they were talking about the basket now. Now that's been in play for a number of years, and that's a lot of home runs have been hit because of the basket. And years ago, of course, they didn't have that, and it could go high off the wall and not be a home run.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they'll, you know, cry about that as well. So, you know, it gives them something to do. But
that's true.
You know, I did see another name that was designated today, and I don't really think there's any shenanigans here. I honestly think the Pirates just designated this guy because he was bad, and it looks like they're finally cutting bait with Jung Ho Gang. You know, remember they signed him out of Korea, and everybody was a little curious about what they would get out of him. He had a really good rookie year. You know, he was solid coming back the next year, but then, you know, he got stupid and got into all that trouble. I believe he's from South Korea. So he couldn't come back for the 2017 and most of the 2018 season. He only played 3 games last year. This year he's hitting .169 in 65 games, and the Pirates just decided that's it. You're going to DFA him and let him
can't
get
blame
a
him. Really. I mean, you can't blame him.
No,
for that.
I don't blame him at all. So.
And what he had visa problems those 2 years, right? Where he couldn't get back in the United States.
Yeah, he got a DUI while he was home in 2017, and you know, obviously the laws are different there in South Korea than they are here, so he couldn't get approved for his visa because you know he had the arrest on his record.
Right.
So you know it just. You know, just kind of how it worked out. I mean, he is 32. I'll be interested to see if he just goes back to Korea, you know, now that he's made, you know, multi-million dollars here in, you know, America, you know, or if maybe he'll try to catch on someplace else. But the year before he came over to Pittsburgh, he hit 40 home runs in the Korean League.
Yeah, maybe he'll go back there, but he'll be okay as long as he doesn't go to North Korea. Then he might be in trouble.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't go to the right Korea, he'll be just fine. So,
yeah,
but
right.
You know, I mean, he's a nice utility guy. I mean, he can play all the infield positions, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody, you know, pick him up and take a look at him in spring training next year, and. You know, kind of see how that goes. But again, that is if that's something he wants to do. So, you know, yeah, because I'm looking here, it looks like he's made about $11 million in the 4 seasons he's played. So if he was smart with his money, you know, he should be able to live just fine. But,
you would think so. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Rookie, he finished 3rd in the Rookie of the Year voting. So that was an interesting little surprise.
Yeah, he's really falling apart. I mean, as you pointed out, of course, that you can't really blame Pittsburgh for pulling the plug on a guy who's hitting .169.
So yeah, no, I don't. You know, this isn't this doesn't smell as bad as the LaCroix one does. You know, I mean, I totally understand why, you know, they're looking to make this move. And, you know, it's like it's just time. And, you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, after all the legal trouble and everything, he, you know, he just needs a change of scenery, kind of like, you know, like when you told me the Cubs deal dealt Carl Edwards. You know, it might just be time that he get a look somewhere else might be good for him. You know, that
I'm putting you on
that
hold
from
for,
time
I'm putting you on hold for a second, okay? Bear with me.
All right. So, but, you know, we'll see how it works out. But, yeah, that doesn't, again, like I said, that's not a big surprise. And I did see that Alcides Escobar was released by the White Sox today. And the odd thing for that for me is I didn't even realize Alcides Escobar was on the White Sox. So, yeah, I'm assuming he was in the minor.
Yeah, I don't think he's had much of an impressive career with them. And they have fallen on tremendously hard times. You thought that they were an up-and-coming team and with a lot of potential to get better, and they were only a couple of games below 500. But coming out of the gate after the All-Star game, they've just been dreadful.
Yeah, you know, it almost looks like they just ran out of gas. So, you know, maybe they can, you know, get it back together and have a decent finish here. And, you know, at least they're on the right pace. You know, they're playing better. You know, it's all pluses for them so far. I mean, you know, they've got obviously some holes to add. I think this is the off season they need to go out and find that big number one starting pitcher, you know, that veteran to put at the top of their rotation, you know, and then you build Giolito and Lopez, and it looks like Dylan Cease is going to stick around, you know, so you'll have four guys there just looking to find that fifth. And, you know, I know Luis Robert is tearing it up in AAA, so it looks like he'll be a good bet to be, you know, an outfielder next year. So they're in a good spot.
I'm not sure about him as being a regular day outfielder. His feeling is very suspect, but it looks like he has a lot of potential to be a good hitter. Maybe they'll have to convert him to a DH. I'm not sure what they're going to do with him.
You know, he might be the guy who does a little of both. You know, kind of the Jorge Soler role. You know, but they have a boatload of prospects, you know, floating around. I know some of, you know, that the catcher they got, Zach Collins, is really close to being ready. So, you know, he may be the guy next year, or at least be on the roster to kind of learn from a veteran guy. So they're shaping up. And I mean, as long as, you know, they've drafted well, which it appears they've done, you know, the team should start to come around. It's just filling in those keys, you know, and that big one is that big, you know, 200 inning veteran starter at the top of the rotation. They got to go find that guy.
That would be good. And if they got these pieces in place, if they got that starter and Roberts developed as everybody thinks he's going to develop, you would hope the fans would start to come out a little more.
Yeah, you know, that, and, you know, the plus they have is they're in a very winnable division. You know, so I think that's a big advantage to them. You know, I mean, even if they improve just slightly next year, they could slide right into contention. And once you start contending, you know, you start to believe in yourself a little bit. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. They certainly think that they have a good opportunity to move up next season. And next season, of course, we know the Twins are doing very well this year, which means that they're going to tank next year, because I've never seen a team that seems to go every other year. One year they're terrific, and the next year they tank. And for reasons unknown.
You know, and who knows what the Indians are going to do in the off season? You know, maybe this is the off season they say goodbye to Corey Kluber. And, you know, I know there's even been some talks about trading Francisco Lindor, because they're afraid when he gets the free agency, they're not going to be able to sign him.
That's a problem with that team. Definitely a problem with that team.
You know, it's something, you know, they, you know, they definitely have to be concerned with. And I mean, you know, that's the one thing where winning hasn't helped bring fans in.
No, the same thing with Oakland. It's another team that always seems to be successful, except when it comes to drawing fans. And, of course, we could throw Tampa in, too, of course, in that mix.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Cleveland, I mean, they've actually made a trip to the World Series, and they still can't draw.
No.
You know, you know, I mean, like the A's and the Rays have had some down years. Cleveland has been good for, you know, a decent length of time. I think they've won the last three Central titles coming into this year. And then, like I said, they actually had that, you know, the World Series appearance where they were, you know, they were pretty close to winning it. You know, they took it to a game seven. It was right there. They had a chance, but.
They had a chance, and they had a 3-1 game lead too, which it doesn't happen all the time. Very, very seldom does a team with a 3-1 advantage wind up losing the World Series.
So yeah, I mean, you just you kind of wonder what are the fans waiting for? You know, I mean, what do they need out of this team for them to show up and watch it?
Yeah, I would think that the attendance in general was probably down in MLB this season.
Yeah, but, you know, even so, they were down before. I mean, you know, anytime you go through their attendance, it's down. You know, they're always towards the bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
And some of the teams that normally draw very well even are slightly down. I don't think the Dodgers are so out of the game anymore like they used to years ago. Although they're pretty close to capacity.
No, they're still miles ahead of where Cleveland is. I mean, their fans still show up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, when you get 12,000 to 14,000 people attending the game, it's pretty sad if you're a winning team.
So, yeah, and I mean, you know, I just don't know why, you know, why they don't go. Did they just decide that they're not a World Series contender? You know, I mean, they're winning that division, but they're not a contender, so they're not going to go? I don't know the methodology behind their thinking, but,
you've
got to kind of wonder. So it just, it can be baffling because, I mean, you know, for years all Cubs fans wanted was a winner, you know, back in the, you know, 70s and 80s and stuff, you know, when they couldn't, before they started drawing, you know, I mean, remember they were getting, you know, 12, 15,000 people a game, and that's all they wanted. And Cleveland seems to have that. And for whatever reason, you know, again, and I don't know what it is, but they don't seem to show up at the ballpark.
I seem to remember that in 1966, I'm thinking, the Cubs drew less than 700,000 fans for the season. I'm thinking it was around 1966. And that's how bad they were.
So, yeah, well, that happens. I mean, there's a... You know, there's teams this year that you wonder are going to draw that. I mean, I can. Nobody's going out to see the Marlins.
Yeah. Where do they draw about 10,000 at best, 10,000-12,000 a game?
Yeah, if that. So, you know, and I think that's with the numbers, you know, beefed up from the ticket holders that don't show up.
Yeah, I think that's inflated. You're right. I think a lot of times that they might show X number of people and there's 4,000, 5,000, or 6,000 or more no-shows.
Yeah, well, because you get credit for the ticket sales even if they don't show up.
Yeah, you still get credit for that. But I'm not sure that. Well, I guess it's right, but it does inflate their attendance and makes it a little bit more respectable than it really is.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, again, like I said, it's just, it gets baffling because it's like, okay, well, you know, why, you know, just tell me why. I'd just be interested to know why. I mean, you know, just for the fact that you know, they don't believe they're going to win. That's the, you know, that's the issue. But I mean, even so, you still think you'd want to go see winning baseball played.
Well, don't forget one other thing. It's a different fan base nowadays, and I think a lot of fans are turned off by the slow pace of baseball, especially the newer fans, the fans that started watching for the last 10, 15 years. And I don't think they like the fact that the games go 3.5, 4 hours with all the changes and delays during the course of the ball game. And maybe they're looking for something a little more fast-paced than that.
Yeah, but you know, if you go to any sport now, you know, and you know, I get so tired of this because every game lasts 3.5 to 4 hours. You know, be it a baseball game, a basketball game, a football game, or a hockey game, they all last that amount. I mean, did you ever try to watch the final, you know, 10 minutes of an NBA game?
Impossible to watch. Impossible to watch.
Right.
With all the timeouts and fouls and delays and everything else. It's just terrible, terrible.
Yeah. You know, it's like the last 2 minutes of an NFL game, you know, halftime or the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're impossible to watch. I mean, the only thing that doesn't have that issue, I mean, hockey has the one timeout. So that's all you got to deal with.
Yeah, that's one good thing about hockey. And I remember when I started listening and watching football, the NFL, I think a game usually averaged between 2.5 and maybe 240, 245. And those days are long gone.
Yeah. You're not going to see that. You know, I know occasionally you get the baseball game that goes under 3 hours. But, yeah, there's not too much of that.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
So,
and I guess they'll have to live with it. And if you want to be a sports fan and follow the four major sports in the United States, I won't count the soccer as the fifth major sport because it's never seemed to draw here very well.
No, yeah, definitely, definitely has not. You know, it looks like slowly it might be catching on a little bit, but they still kind of have a long way to go.
I thought they started to catch on when the Sting was in town. They won a couple of titles out. They beat New York for the outdoor championship a number of years ago, and they had some great crowds at Soldier Field, and then they played indoor soccer at the stadium, and they drew some 22,000 fans a couple of times. And that seemed, I thought they were catching on, but when they folded, the sport went down in the tank again.
Yeah, I'll try to when the women were rolling along with the World Cup and stuff, I tried to watch a little of it, but I just it's just not something I enjoy.
No.
So.
And that's the only sport that I've seen that makes it very, very confusing to me is towards the end of when the game is officially over. Now there's some extra time. The game time has elapsed. Now there's an extra number of minutes remaining, and you never know. The announcers don't know. Nobody knows how much extra time is remaining until the game is officially over. A very strange way of handling the sport, I thought.
So, yeah, I don't.
I can never understand how that worked.
Yeah.
And no one knew how much extra. Well, we don't know how much extra time is left. Well, we'll see what happens. Let's go. It's very peculiar.
Yeah.
They probably have the same thing in Europe too. I would imagine that's a strange rule, though. I never understood that one.
No, I'm always confused by you know, extra time or stoppage time, or I don't even know what's what. Well,
see, but the thing is, you're not alone because the announcers don't even seem to know how much extra time is involved or how much extra stoppage there is until someone says, "That's it, the game is officially over now."
So, yeah. But here, I did find this this story kind of humorous. I'm not sure if you saw this one, but David Griffin, who is now the executive vice president of the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, before he was the, I believe he technically he was the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers or whatever job title he had, that about, must have been about 3 months ago on one of the Mickey Mouse Network podcasts he did with Adrian Wojnarowski, he mentioned how miserable it was working with LeBron James, which was, which is totally understandable. I mean, while Griffin was the GM, James basically ran the team, and they had to bow to everything James wanted. Well, I don't know what took so long, but somehow Sports Illustrated just this week, actually yesterday, kind of went through and rehashed this now. And now apparently it's getting so much attention that James actually replied to it. You know, and of course he's, you know, going to, you know, say none of it is true because that's what these guys do. But would you be surprised at all with the way these athletes are that these days that it was just a miserable working environment with him in Cleveland?
I have a feeling that that's true. As you pointed out, behind the scenes, he ran the team. And everything had to come through him. And is there any other sport that does that, though, besides basketball? Basketball is the only one where you see this happening.
Yeah, well, you know, they say it's a players' league, and this definitely defines it. I mean, James more or less ran the Cavaliers, told them what to do. Humorously, what ended up happening is he got all his friends paid, you know, guys like the J.R. Smiths and the Tristan Thompsons that weren't going to get any money anywhere else, and then he left.
Yeah, yeah. And
so,
do you think any of these players would have signed with the Lakers if James wasn't on the team? Some of these new acquisitions of the Lakers, they never would have signed with the Lakers.
No, you know, they're all going to go right there. You know, they're all looking for that championship. You know, everybody wants to be like, you know, oh yeah, I won the title or however, you know, however it works out, but.
Despite the fact that they weren't in the playoffs last year, I think they've already been installed as a preseason favorite to win the NBA.
Yeah, they were. As soon as they signed Anthony Davis, or traded for Anthony Davis, you know, that they automatically became the favorite regardless of what anybody else did. And, you know, I mean, of course, this is exactly what the NBA wanted, so it's not that big a deal. But it you know, it's all shady. I mean, that's by far the shadiest of all the leagues.
Yeah, and I'm still surprised that the lottery picks went the way they did, and New York didn't wind up higher in the draft.
Well, you know, at least they stayed in where you were supposed to get a quality player. You know, unlike the Bulls and the Suns, who dropped way out where they couldn't get anybody who could help them.
There's nothing worse than being mediocre in the NBA. There really is nothing worse.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure the Bulls or the Suns would have been happy to stay at 3 and take a shot with R.J. Barrett instead of whoever else they landed on. So, the big shock to me was that the Lakers didn't end up going all the way up. I thought for sure they would get up there, but, you know, they still did end up at 4, which was a huge jump for them. But, you know, that didn't surprise me at all.
No, it looks like they're the team of the future now in the NBA, starting with the next season. I'm sure they've already booked in team games on the TNT and ESPN for next season already.
Yeah. You know, obviously they're going to be helped by the fact that the the Warriors are injured coming into this year, so.
Yeah.
You know that will. Them a help. So
although I think
we'll
the Warriors will still give them a bit. I think the Warriors will still be a factor in the Western Conference next season, despite their injuries.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how if they can kind of tread water and hang around till Klay Thompson gets back, and you know, as long as he's healthy, when he gets back, it should be, you know, good enough for them. I don't know if they can win the title, but maybe you never know with these, you know, with these things.
I think they'll probably be in the top 4 or 5 seeds when it's all said and done.
So yeah, you would think. I did see, the NBA released their Christmas Day schedule for today and for this year, and it looks like the Lakers play the Clippers, the Pelicans play the Nuggets, the Celtics play the Raptors, and I thought normally there was a fourth game. Do we have a fourth game, or is it just 3 this year? Oh, no, the Rockets and the Warriors is the fourth game. So
They're logical choices. We got the new number one draft sensation at one of the games. We got the Lakers in the other game, and the defending NBA champions in a third game.
The Bucks and the 76ers appear that that's also been a game added to Christmas Day. So that's where that is. So that's what you get. That's what you get there.
Are the Bucks now the number one favorite in the East now that Toronto has lost some of the players?
A lot of people who like Philadelphia still. So.
And what about the Celtics? Celtics might be in the top 4, I would think.
They're definitely a. Another team that could, should be in there. You never just know how things are going to go. Sadly, I think Toronto is out with Kawhi leaving, but they got their title, so at least they got that.
Right, they finally got the title, the first foreign-based team to win a title in the NBA.
Yeah. So, or any sport, technically, right? Hockey wins it all the time, but it's in the other 3. So.
Right. Did Montreal ever win the World Series? I don't think they. Well, of course, Toronto won a few times.
So they won a couple, but Montreal never. They had some good teams, but they never did win it.
No. Well, there's rumors, of course, they're going to be another team. They'll be back in base in the major leagues pretty soon.
Yeah, well, if they get a better stadium, maybe it works out.
That's what happens when you're an experienced announcer on the radio. You do have a cough from time to time, and. Unlike some of the major stations, though, you don't have a cough button, do you, that you press like the WGN monitor?
Whatever comes up.
Yeah, no cough button. Well, maybe we'll – I think the listeners should get that for you for your birthday.
Truly
professional.
I believe Dan has mentioned there is one on my headset. But with as big as my fingers are, I can't, I can't fumble around with it. I would end up shutting myself off the podcast and, all that stuff because it's just all.
You don't want to do that.
So, yeah.
The loyal listeners forgive you for that. Occasional cough.
Yeah, every once in a while it happens. So, we shall see.
Oh, by the way, Are you looking forward to next Thursday night?
Does it have anything to do with what I was going to ask you about last night and how much of the Hall of Fame game you watched?
No, it has. Yeah, that does have something to do with that. But I watched very little of that game, and it was a low-scoring game for a preseason opener, wasn't it? Was it 14-7?
I watched like one play or something, and that was it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I will probably watch the first quarter of the game next Thursday.
Yeah, well, depending on what channel it's on will depend on if I watch it. I don't know if I
–
well, you know, I know I mentioned you before. You know, a couple months ago we lost the NFL Network. We lost the NFL Network and the Pursuit Channel due to conflicts with AT&T.
Right.
And now, currently, I don't have CBS.
Yeah, sometimes those preseason games are on CBS, but they have had some on Fox, too, haven't they? Had a few on Fox over the years, preseason games?
Depending on the situation, you know, and how it's broadcast, they're on different networks. You know, sometimes they're on that WPWR, that Channel 50.
Right,
so,
true.
So, yeah, it's possible I won't have any issues. But, yeah, you know, this is one of those things. I mean, it's getting close here. Either they need to rectify this by football season or I got to talk my roommate into getting another cable provider.
Right, because if the strike goes on, you won't even be able to see the Thanksgiving game between the Bears and Detroit.
Right, well, you know, their issue is they're in a contract dispute, you know, because AT&T doesn't pay what CBS wants to show their programming. So, you know, I don't have CBS, or they also have a sports network. I don't have that either. But oddly, what's humorous, and, you know, the last, I don't know, we'll say 6 months just to round it off, I've lost four networks now, but yet our monthly bill is still the same, even though I have four less channels. And I'm not quite sure how that works out.
Yeah, that's a corporate greed for you, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And has AT&T been involved in any other contract disputes like this over the years? I know Dish Network has been involved several times.
Yeah. You know, normally when this happens with AT&T, it's resolved really quickly. You know, like the last time this happened, it took a day to resolve it. But like with the NFL Network and the Pursuit Network, they've actually eliminated the channels from the channel guide.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're coming back. I don't know if they're still talking to them. I don't know what's going on. You know, and obviously the Pursuit Network isn't that big a deal. The only thing I ever really watched there was I would check in on, you know, Impact Wrestling once or twice a night. But I watched the NFL Network, and obviously, you know, CBS is one of the most – I think it's the most in the watch network, or it was for a while. So, you know, my roommate is into all that Survivor, Big Brother type of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think one of the reasons it's lasted a little bit longer is that it's during the summer where the major programs on CBS haven't started yet. If it was closer to the fall, I think they would have made a more of a concentrated effort to try to resolve the issues.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that'll be the thing here because, you know, we are getting pretty close to – you know, premieres for all these new shows, and obviously the NFL season is heating up. You know, CBS doesn't show any other major sport except for football. So, you know, I'm not missing anything there. I mean, even NASCAR at this point in time is on NBC. So, you know, while it's not a major sport, when I want to watch it, I can find it. It's not that big a deal. So we'll see how long this lasts, but it's been going on for quite a while now. And hopefully it's cleared up here. I mean, a little over a month away from kickoff.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken this long to resolve. But I'm sure that there'll be enough pressure on them to settle this thing when football officially begins.
Yeah, you got to figure the closer it gets to football, the more people in my situation are going to start complaining. So, you know, that kind of would kind of see how that goes, but
right.
I can only hope. That's all I can hope for. Hello, we're back. The music is going to take off. We're not going to be back until Monday. We're going to have a little time for you, so we'll be waiting for then. How is all you know the deal? How long is the sports time of year? What's the new blog popping up tomorrow morning? Why are you going to link and head on over to the Facebook page? You can put that on like while you're over there. But don't forget to see the season of Rose Temp Radio. Also, feel free to look me up on Twitter. I'm at Rose Temp. As always, big thanks for the stop by and listen to this live. It was really nice of you to do that. But don't forget, if you get to any of the podcasts and just want to go back and listen, You can do that in one morning.